It's good to have you here today for our regularly scheduled time together learning all about our great God. I love him, and I hope and pray you do too. He is holy God, and we are all unholy people, but he loves us. And the evidence of that love is in his Son, Jesus Christ, who is made flesh such that we will know God is love. And we're walking with Jesus, and we've invested 3 weeks now in Luke 2, verses 39 through 52. It's a rich passage with much to offer each and every one of us. I trust that you have benefited from it, and today and tomorrow I want to wrap up our study of it, and then we'll be moving on Thursday to another episode in the life of Christ. Yesterday, being a holiday here in the States, we took a one-day break from this series, but now we return to the text. And the question before us is, what does Jesus teach us about God? And we've learned two big lessons. First, in this text, Jesus teaches us that although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active. And we saw in Luke 2 that from Jesus' birth to his first words, recorded in the Bible, is a period of 12 years. Then there is another period of 18 years until Jesus speaks again as he arrives from Galilee at the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. When we do the math, we realize that from the ages of birth to 30, Jesus speaks once. Once. This is stunning. However, herein is a lesson for us. In this text, Jesus teaches us that although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active. That is, just because we have no recorded words of Jesus in the first 30 years of his human life, that does not mean that God was not on the move in some dramatic and transformative ways. These verses before us uncovered the acts of the Holy One, again, not by what is said, but by what is done. And that led us to our second lesson. In this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. And as part of this lesson, we learned that Jesus honored his parents. Jesus lived with his parents, and Jesus worked. And now today, Jesus always battled and always successfully overcame temptation. What was Jesus doing during all those many years of silence? He was battling with and overcoming temptation to sin. And here is how I want to approach this. I'm going to direct you to some scripture on this now, but I really want to keep this brief, and here's why. Soon, we're going to come to Matthew chapter 4. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when the Lord gets out there with Satan on his trail, we'll learn how Jesus successfully overcame every temptation thrown his way. So we do not need too much detail on this now because we're going to get it in Matthew. All that I want to do while we're still in Luke chapter 2 is to simply bring this to your attention. Listen, as you and I live our quiet lives in the daily routines, the biggest obstacle to developing intimacy with God are the temptations to sin that we give in to, right? The devil comes at us with something tantalizing that our Heavenly Father has commanded us to stay away from, and we struggle to overcome Satan, but so often we fail. And sin thrives in the quiet routine life. Sin thrives in darkness. Sin thrives when no one else knows about our sin. If you struggle with an addiction, or you have a family member who does, then I do not need to tell you this. The fact, quote-unquote, nobody knows, is a big contributor to the sin that entangles you and your loved one. But I can hear it now. I am not an addict. Oh, maybe not to sex or food or alcohol and or to an illegal drug or a painkiller for that matter. But all persons are addicted to sin. That's our nature. We're all addicted to that. And our iniquity grows like weeds in the garden when we hide it. So while we are talking about the quiet and routine life, I need to say something about temptation. And this is what I want to say. I want to again point us to Jesus because he always battled and always successfully overcame temptation. And he is the one who teaches us how to do the same. The first 30 years of his life were lived in obscurity. He was not famous. All eyes were not on him, but Satan's eyes were. If he could successfully get the boy Jesus to sin just once, that is all it would take, once, then the devil would derail Jesus from being the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But praise God, Jesus never, ever sinned. As a baby, as a toddler, as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, and as an adult, in every period of his life, Christ never ever sinned. He did not sin in thought. He did not sin in deed. But that does not mean he was not tempted to. Every day of Christ's life, Satan tempted him to sin, and the evil one comes along and does the exact same thing to you and I. Hear now God's word to you in Luke 2, verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And I continue reading at Luke 2 and verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. These two passages summarize the first 30 years of Christ's life, and every step of the way as the boy Jesus grew, there was the devil nagging at him. And I want you to notice something that is said in these two verses. Verse 40 says, "The grace of God was upon him." I believe that grace from God his Father was used by Jesus to battle and to always overcome whatever temptations Satan threw at him. And then in verse 52, Jesus kept increasing in favor with God. How could Jesus have increased in favor with God? I'll tell you how. By living the perfect, sinless life. And in order to live that life, Jesus must never have sinned. He won the battle against the devil daily in the quiet routines of his life in Nazareth. There are two other scriptures that I really want you to know, or if you know these, then to apply them to the truth that Jesus always overcame temptation. The first are the words of God the Father himself in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 11. This is really very incredible. Following the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, verse 11 of Mark chapter 1 quotes, "God, you are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Did you catch that? In your car, by your radio at home, through your phone via the podcast, these are the words of God the Father about God the Son, Jesus. Quote, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Question, how is it that God is well pleased with Jesus? Answer, Jesus is perfect. He never sins. Truly, the only person of whom it can be said he never does anything wrong is Jesus. Only Joseph and Mary can say that about their child and be right. At all ages and stages of his life, Jesus is one who well pleases God. So please, do write Mark 1:11 in the margin of your Bible at Luke 2, verses 40 and 52. When you have an opportunity to do so in the margin of your Bible or the notes section of your Bible app, put down Mark 1, verse 11, next to Luke 2, verses 40 and 52. The entire time Jesus is growing up in Nazareth, his life is well-pleasing to his heavenly Father. And God could not and would not say this out loud from the heavens if Jesus had sinned even once. But Jesus never ever sinned, and therefore he never gave into temptation. So that was Mark chapter 1, verse 11. And now let's go much further along in the New Testament and come to the book of Hebrews. Ah, what a deep and glorious text this is. As you listen, I am drawn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hear now the word of God to you. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." This is descriptive of the Lord Jesus. He is our great high priest. And notice what the writer of Hebrews carefully says. Jesus was tempted in all things, yet was without sin. There is no sin in Jesus. Sometimes Christians and even Bible teachers speak of Jesus as if he were never even tempted to sin. I always cringe when I see some artist's impression of what Jesus looked like for two reasons. One, we do not know what he looked like, so it is idolatry to even suggest it. But second, he can be pictured or painted as one wearing a halo with a ring of bright light around his head. This is totally unbiblical. Jesus was a man. Jesus was a real human being, tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He is like us in that he was tempted. He is unlike us in that Jesus never sinned. He was like us in that he was tempted. He is unlike us in that he never sinned. So get Hebrews 4:15 in the margin of your Bibles at Luke 2 as well. Mark 1:11 and Hebrews 4:15. These are the two scriptures I want to put before you today. Jesus can sympathize with us in our weakness. Now that does not mean that he condones sin or in any way welcomes sin in our lives. But he knows from personal, earth experience what it is like to be barraged by the devil day in and day out, night in and night out. So I hope this will encourage you to bring your sin to Jesus and ask him to forgive it and remove it from you. In the quiet routines of your life, do not let sin thrive. Instead, root it out by exposing it to God. To be tempted is not to sin, but to give in to the temptation is to sin. Let me say that again. To be tempted is not to sin, but to give in to the temptation is to sin. And we will talk more about this in Matthew chapter 4. In this text, Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. And as part of this lesson, we have just learned that Jesus always battled and always successfully overcame temptation. What was Jesus doing during all those many years of silence? He was battling with and overcoming temptation to sin. Tomorrow, I will have my concluding thoughts for you on Luke 2, verses 39 to 52. So please be right back here tomorrow as we go coast to coast in the United States on the radio and all around the world on the God Is podcast.